This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
He's been on his junket, his panel and
cucumber sandwiches at the JP conference.
When I heard you were going to go in JP thing, I wonder what the collective noun is for JPs. I had to look it up. It's panel or benches.
Yeah. So, is it a club?
is it a private members club?
Yeah, on a more serious note. Yeah, welcome. We had a bit of a recess because I was on a JP training, but this is free left turn here on free 89.0 free FM. Sorry,
I've been
sidetracked by demeaning comments about being a JP.
That's not demeaning.
Oh, just a collective now.
Yeah.
It was a cucumber sandwich that caught me. Yes. If you want to have some more common sense, go to Free Left Turning Podcast. It'll be more common sense there. Welcome. Yeah, and to my right, Fred.
Good morning.
And in front of me, Mick, and myself. Good morning. And myself, Craig. Yeah. So, sorry about the theatrics.
That's right.
Was it worth it?
Yeah.
Crust on or off?
Oh, no. Crusts have to be cut off.
Oh, yeah. No, it was worthwhile going because when you go to these JP things, I don't go to all of them. Mm. It's either an education session or one of these professional development things. When we had community law there.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, they told what they do.
Yeah.
And they basically answered a question that I had about what they can't do.
Yeah,
so they can't represent you. They can't litigate.
I try to get my head around the conflict of interest that they have. That's what they say.
Yeah, the last time I used the community law centre was, I had a problem. And they could point you in the right direction as to which organisation or which individual you need to go and talk to.
Yeah,
they couldn't represent you in court. They only provide advice, but I might be wrong.
Yeah. So then we had a presenter for that. Then we had a session about the Privacy Act and how it can be breached.
Oh, you mean abused?
The Privacy Act?
Yes. Privacy for some people, but not for everyone else.
Yes, loose lips, sink ships, and that stuff. And then we had a presenter for what they call unconscious bias.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we had a session about that, and that.
How do you resolve that one? Unconscious bias.
We don't realise you've got.
I know that.
Yeah. How do you solve it?
Yeah. Sometimes it's ingrained to you from your.
Picked up from your parents. And
yeah. Yeah.
From or your school. Upbringing or your observations.
Yeah. So it's there was a unique experiment that we were all given each a sticky of paper, every different colour.
Okay.
There's probably about four or five different colours. But the predominant ones were green, yellow and pink.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was that we just consciously done was form ourselves into groups of that colour. But there were also two or three people who had a darker hue of yellow, so they joined our group. And then there was one person by themselves who had a white sticky paper. And that was the only individual who had the white piece of paper.
Okay, you got to choose your own colour paper.
We basically drew that person into our group.
Okay.
To make it look like they were welcome.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because everybody else was the pink ones, they're all together over there, and then the other one over there.
And how did you get assigned your colour of paper?
Was given out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It was given out.
So random, was it?
Yeah, random, yeah. So
right.
There was a lady who was a darker yellow,
You mean a darker yellow coupon?
Sticky.
Sticky, okay.
Yeah, she basically saw this person, so invited it into our group. So our group was probably the more diverse, as I would say.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was an interesting experiment, and the president says, "So why don't you just tag on to any old group?"
Danger of tagging on to any old group. Then of course, you end up with the clubs or mutual prejudices all sticking together.
That's what happened.
People tend to congregate towards people that similar to their own.
Mm-hmm. Herd mentality stuff.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
So everybody just went over there, and where we were, and we, as I said, we had the most diverse group.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like success.
Yeah.
It was kind of an interesting concept, the unconscious bias.
So was it 2 days or 1 day?
Just it crossed over from late morning to early afternoon. So
okay.
So,
just catch up. Oh, cool.
Yeah, I need to do my what we call accreditation, but I've got to think of a time to do that.
Okay.
Because in the back of my own mind, us at work have to do a privacy test.
Okay.
Privacy test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they need certification because of the jobs that we do.
Okay.
Confidentiality and
all that sort of stuff. Yeah. That's what. Yeah. So we're in that sort of mold.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, interesting. Yeah.
Right.
But there's been a lot going on over the last couple of weeks.
In there.
Yeah. Not just in here. We've had floodings down here.
Oh, right.
Yeah, down in the Tasman.
Oh, you mean
Yeah. We've had issues around the retail advisory group, Mr. Chung,
mm-hmm.
and his scurrilous comments about the mayor.
Tory Whānau.
The Epstein files over in the United States.
Yeah.
Yep. Then they have the ongoing issues with Gaza and the genocidal stuff.
Yeah. Awful.
But I thought I would start with that because.
Cheer us up first.
No, it's not cheerful. Cheerful really at all. But it's from. I get the information from the CTU at work.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. So
New Zealand Trade Unions Council.
Council of Trade Unions. Yeah. And this was a letter that Richard Wagstaff. Had sent to our so-called Foreign Affairs Minister.
Yeah.
Dear Peters, taking stronger action on the Gaza conflict. I would like to acknowledge your recent remarks calling for a swift end to the conflict in Gaza and for the immediate provision of aid to the people of Gaza. The New Zealand Council of Trade Unions, Te Kaawi Kai Mahi, I think I'm a bit awkward with it, condemns all acts of violence against civilians, including the attack by Hamas on the 7th of October 2023. And condemns Israel's siege and bombardment of Gaza, which has created a major humanitarian catastrophe. For too long, the international community has allowed the state of Israel to act with impunity. It is now very clearly engaged in genocide and ethnic cleansing in Gaza. All effort must be made to put diplomatic and economic pressure on Israel to end this murderous campaign. I am therefore writing to request the New Zealand government give meaningful effect to your recent remarks by taking the following measures. 1. Implement a ban on all imports of goods made in whole or in part in Israel. 2. Conduct a rapid review of Crown investments and immediately divest from any financial interest in Israeli companies. 3. Immediately expel the Israeli ambassador. 4, do not participate in any training exercises such as the future RIMPAC, I don't know what that is, exercises, where the Israeli military is also participating. 5, work with like-minded countries on a coordinated response to increase pressure on Israel to end the conflict.
Yeah, Richard Ragsdale. I agree with the sentiments.
I just always note they still have to bring up the October the 7th.
Yeah.
You know, always, and that's, okay. But that's not actually the root cause of...
I think he's talking more in sense of the action. It's a major precursor of what's happening now.
Yeah.
But I think that's just a part of that, the historical...
But you know, they don't sort of say, well, due to the fact that Israel in 2014 killed 4,000 people, you know, where do you draw the line?
Yeah, it's 1982, yeah. It's 1956, it's 1948.
Yeah.
It's all those years.
The Nakba, the original one in 1948.
So
interesting that the Americans called for an investigation to that American Palestinian who was beaten to death. It's amazing they're calling for an investigation into that death, but
not to the how many
anyone else.
Yeah,
no.
How many hundred?
They didn't call for an investigation when Shireen Barclay.
Well, they did.
Did the Americans?
Yeah, because she was a U.S. citizen.
Nothing happened.
Well, the Israelis fobbed it off, and that was sort of all
swept it under the carpet, as I say.
But they don't call for investigations into how many Palestinians were killed yesterday. I'm going to say, not killed, how many Palestinians were murdered yesterday.
That's what you say.
And one took to my heart, I don't know why, but a little child, a young boy with a pet cat was out playing for his cat and he was murdered by the Israelis.
Sure.
Yeah. Just, you know, how does that equate to...
defending Israel?
Defending anything. Sorry, that's just, you know. And he's just, that's an example of what's happened day in, day out, you know. With a shot or blowing up or whatever, you send a bomb over, that's not, oh, we're just clearing the space. You're intending to kill. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, collateral damage.
Yeah.
You know, what's a fair... It's like the bad guy going in somewhere and you kill out not just his family but his cousins and his relations and his neighbours just because there's one bad guy there. Is that fair?
No. Well, the thing is, the Israelis are saying that hitting that Catholic church yesterday or the day before their time was an accident. This is them using precision bombs and munitions.
Yep.
And the report said they've hit other churches, other mosques.
Other childhood care centres, other schools.
Saying, we're not aiming for civilians. And you said, well, it's blatantly not true.
Yeah.
You're telling a lie.
They're either doing truth. They're either going, they're telling a lie, or no, there's one bad guy there and we don't care if we kill 100 with him.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But they're just saying, oh, no, we don't intentionally aim for civilians, which is BS.
Did you hear what the Chinese have supplied the Israelis with those drones that fire those little balls?
But they supply those drones for a different purpose. They're designed for something else. And the Israelis have modified them...
To kill people. Anybody.
Yeah.
It's just awful. And to say this is and people say, oh, the war between them. This isn't exactly a fair fight. This isn't Ukraine, Russia. The adversaries with reasonably similar weaponry.
This isn't a war. This is oppression.
It's not a war at all. It's a bit like the Warsaw Ghetto. I think the better analogy is the Warsaw Rising in 1944, where they just massacred civilians.
It's a disgrace, not just on the Israelis. People say, oh, it's a Zionist. Well, no, it's an IDF uniform. Yeah. It says Israel. Well, it doesn't say Zionist.
It's most Israelis supporting
this. Yeah, so it's just... Mm. But a disgrace on the world. And our response, sorry, we've just belittled ourselves and, you know, we're complicit by our silence and our lack of tough.
They'd rather go after the UN raconteur Albanese.
With economic sanctions,
sanctions.
They'd rather do that than tackle the...
Yeah, and how hard would it be for our government and not just this one, but the previous one as well, to call in the Israeli ambassador and say, no, you're out. If you guys don't stop, you're out.
We should be joining Hula, the Brazilian president.
Lula.
Lula.
Yeah.
Other countries are called for.
Yeah.
Not just talk.
Yeah.
I think
stop.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Slovenians have done something too.
Yeah, that's right.
Gavir and bloody.
But it's a bit of a disgrace on New Zealand's name because we used to be regarded as one of the leaders in human rights, etc. And now we've just bent over. Yeah, disgraceful.
Yeah. Netanyahu's been in the United States. He was allowed to fly over French and I think Spanish airspace to get there.
Yeah.
I think the Israeli military chief is currently in Britain?
He was.
I think he may still be.
So for all of those territories where he could have been picked up.
Yeah.
But then what do? We sanction the ICC. You know, instead of going, well, actually, they might have a cause here. No, no. It's like, well, we need to punish anyone who dares
to speak out.
Yeah, that's what seems to be there.
Yeah. Palestinian Action, for example.
Yeah.
Well, a typical case. You know, and sure, You put red paint on a window or on a plane or a car or whatever else. That's a criminal act.
It's not a political act.
But it's not a terrorist act.
I should say, yeah.
And that's the difference. Terror is when you're an IDF pilot.
And you kill someone.
And you drop a bomb into a building where you know there's civilians.
That's terror. Yeah.
That's terrorism. Yeah. And not just Israel. Look what we did with Dresden. Look what the Western powers did with Dresden. They knew that city in Germany at the end of the war was full of civilians.
Yeah, they murdered
still
them.
Still went
ahead. Yeah.
So we're not the good guys. We haven't been the good guys for a long time, I'm afraid.
No, we've been the nasty guys, yeah.
Never mind.
Never mind that, yeah, but other things the other thing that's distracted Donald Trump is the Epstein files.
Yeah.
That seemed to have dominated the news out of there.
And isn't that, to me,
so
that's
these
what...
these files have come from where?
Or the Epstein files, it's been a long going saga.
Well, Musk mentioned
there was a list around.
Musk mentioned the files.
Yeah, that all these people they had a list of all these big noters that would go and who would use Epstein's services with young ladies.
With services.
Namely,
remember the royal family.
Well, Prince Andrew got caught out and disgraced. But yeah, there's meant to be this list. And there's an argument. One moment there is a list, next there's not a list. And Trump, when he stood for election this last time, we're going to disclose the list.
Of course.
Well, now he's stopped, but now he's talking about disclosing some of it. So what's going on, you know? But the worst thing for me is that's the big news in America. Mm. Meanwhile, there's a genocide going on in the world that America supplies the weaponry.
Yeah, and also in their own country there was those major floods in Texas.
Yeah,
and New Mexico.
And what's the big news? Epstein.
Yeah.
You know?
It shows how shallow
they are.
And so that's... and we want to call reputable democracy now had a thing on the Epstein things and all that. And I think, you know, concentrate on some of the... more serious stuff.
Yeah.
But there's definitely, you know, it is because I suppose there's all sorts of rich and famous people involved. So,
Of course, we can't have them dragged out in the mud.
Well, so that's why everyone's, and even now, if there wasn't it, no one will actually believe. The only way they're going to clear the whole thing up is
full
release.
Display.
Anything that's anywhere.
And they've still
got Ghislaine Maxwell sitting in prison.
So the thing is, if the list doesn't exist, why is she in prison?
Well, that's exactly the argument. Were they doing this sort of, what would you call it? They were, what would you call it? Facilitating trading between wealthy men and generally wealthy men and
young girls.
And young women.
And
on that, the young girls, I wish they wouldn't use that because... They were underage, certainly.
Yeah.
And still should be defended by the law because they're too young to give consent. But they're not 7-year-old girls. These are pubescent girls. 14-year-old girls that are they are attracted to the limelight and all that. So they're easily swayed, etc. But then they sort of make out that they're just pedophilias. 14-year-old... It's against the law, and it should be because they're still not mature enough to give permission. But they're not 5-year-old kiddies either.
Mm-hmm. Thank goodness for that.
Yeah.
But imagine if you've been that someone who wasn't wealthy and you're on that list, you'd be pilloried.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it seems to be double standard. Everyone's scattering for the cover and rich in the elite people involved in these sort of shenanigans, these activities, they expect to be protected, but anyone else is thrown under the bus.
Well, how do they
double standard? How do they get caught
up in anyway? You know, because they're wealthy in their own right. Why would they?
Well, they think they're.
Why
above,
would they go to this club and this island to have fun when they can do it?
But they think they're above the law.
That's probably a lot like it. Yeah,
a lot of people who've got money think they're above the law. They can do whatever they like to whoever they like, whenever.
And some of the interviews from the young woman that well now are not young woman anymore, but interviewed and said they've just said they were 40. They were attracted because they would give them praise and tell them how beautiful they looked, and they just sort of allowed themselves to get slowly groomed into it. Without sort of realizing, in time they realised it was often too late,
Yeah, there was a comment made. I watched, I think his name's Ben Midas. He presents a left wing side of things, and he one of them was had a person called Michael Wolff.
Yeah,
he's a person who was
the economist.
No. He's Trump's biographer.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and he was also going to write a biography about Epstein, but that never happened. But it was a comment that he had made about a photograph that he saw of Trump.
Yeah.
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 Which won't be mentioned on air.
Well, let's face it.
Remember that scandal? There was photographs and Trump was included in the photograph.
Oh, he
was there.
He was best
buddies.
He was buddies with
Epstein.
Epstein. All of them. Yeah, so they all liked it, and then they sort of had a falling out.
There's that photo with old Andrew, that girl.
Yeah, who's now deceased.
And I think Ghislaine Maxwell as well. So
the question is, if there's nothing there, why is Ghislaine Maxwell in jail? Unless they can, but definitely it was definitely not appropriate at all and illegal. Bottom line is, doesn't matter if you give consent, and this is in New Zealand, if you're underage, you can't legally give consent.
And the sad thing is this could happen again. Another group of elite rich men. Yeah.
Well, I think it does happen.
It happens a lot.
I think it doesn't just happen with rich elite men.
It's not isolated
It happens with probably elite sports professionals.
There were stories that came out of Eastern Europe of young ladies who were promised something but basically became sex slaves.
One of those two brothers.
Trafficking, like that, but earlier, before that. They basically enticed them into the city from the rural areas in Eastern Europe.
They're drugged and then into prostitution.
Take their passports off them. They've got to pay it off. Pretty awful stuff. But to me, it's just, that's the big news in America.
Is the sex scandal?
Yeah. But the people with the floodings in Texas and eastern Mexico as well, Mick, where people lost their lives. That Trump visited about a week into the disaster as an afterthought.
He didn't really want to be there.
But I see his approval rate in Texas has gone down.
Good.
Big time.
I think the veneer might be coming off,
but not enough to do anything about it.
Well, the trouble's the alternative. What's the Democrats wouldn't be quite. They're both, as George Galloway says, two cheeks of the same bottom. It's America's a mess, and unfortunately, because they're so powerful, they are providing the munitions for genocide. Trump was all about, we're in the Ukraine-Russian war, now he's providing more weapons
which
makes it all more dangerous for all of us. Because if Russia start losing, will they actually go, are we just going to let the Ukrainians and the Americans roll their tanks down Moscow, or will we use the big stuff?
As really World War III. Would we go that far? You really think the West would want to go to Moscow?
Some of them would.
It'd be a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
Because they really need to look at history. Napoleon and Hitler.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, yeah, so the big news for out of the United States really is that Ukraine thing. Yeah. The ongoing support, ongoing support of Israel, the flooding, the Mandani thing still is still there.
Oh yeah, it's still rattling the cages of the, of the hierarchy and the Democrats.
The Epstein stuff is way down there, but it's been promoted to there, and everything else is subservient. Yeah.
Distraction.
So I see Cuomo, speaking of the Mandani thing. Yeah, now Cuomo is standing as an independent. So, he stood as let's stand and we're all in the same club and we'll stand. Oh, you got beaten. Oh, yep, I accept the result, but now I'm standing as an independent.
Yeah,
what do you call that in the English language, Rick? I have no idea. I know how I could cuss about it.
Lying through his teeth.
So
that's... Epstein file seems to be number one in America.
Can we just stick on America? You know, I briefly talked about America last thing. I saw this, it was quite an interest just by chance, and it was it was on YouTube, Raising Wildflower, and it was about this woman with a family, and they actually left America, but she gave out some facts and figures. 38 million Americans live below the poverty line.
Mm.
44 million Americans suffer from food insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, America's population is about 330 to 340 million. So put that in perspective.
Yeah.
650,000 Americans are homeless each night.
Mm-hmm.
Half of working adults cannot afford a $500 emergency. The top 1% have 30% of the nation's wealth. The bottom 50% have 2% of the nation's wealth, which we talked about last week. 1 in 8 Americans rely on food banks or food stamps to feed their families, which is interesting, isn't it?
Well, way the things are going, that will be cut back too.
Yeah, and healthcare is the leading cause of bankruptcies in America.
Yeah, that's a good one, hey?
Yeah. And now they're in, she's gone to the move, they're in Vietnam, and she said now they had one of their daughters had you know, accident or whatever, cost them $7 to go to the A&E, et cetera. Mm. And 90% of Vietnamese healthcare is covered by the state. And she's just going about the... Although they don't earn as much, the food costs are less, the accommodation is less, the costs
they're
are less.
They're still looked after.
And we're still caught up in this capitalistic mode of how much do you get paid. We're not actually looking at the root cause.
Well, yeah, just look after yourselves.
Yeah, because there was that lady from New Zealand who went to India for an operation on her back, I think it was.
Oh, a lot of people
it was a lot cheaper.
It's a lot cheaper, yeah.
They do kind of warn you that there may be other things that you could actually potentially pick up.
And her main cause was, bottom line is, America, and I would put the West, including New Zealand, we profit off... We've gone from providing for basic human needs to profiting off basic human needs.
Yeah,
and if you don't fit in...
That's the American system. It's not about looking after patients, it's about making money.
Yeah, it's not... It was for the common good, is it? How can we make money out of it?
Money.
Yeah. So it was that was interesting.
But
yeah.
Yeah. We'll get it here.
Yeah.
Because it smells like it'll happen.
Yeah.
Or Seymour would love to go.
Not just Seymour.
Brown.
Yeah,
it's putting things up the private sector.
Yeah,
because I think
only the best though.
Yeah,
the most expensive the state will pick up.
Yeah,
the private. Oh, yeah, there was a privately built hospital in the Hawke's Bay that was opened this week.
Okay.
Yeah. What does that tell you?
Well, they weaken the state. That's the bottom line.
They found in America, they end up with duplication of services.
Yeah,
because they're all competing, so they're all trying to offer the same thing. It's waste.
Well, look at the public schooling in America. You know, it's been knocked around and knocked around because they have all this private schooling, you know. And then they go, oh, public schools, you know, terrible. Well, why are they terrible? Because you've allowed all this cherry picking and picking the cream out, and then you're expecting the public school system just to teach the poor, you know.
And
cut their budgets, et cetera. So, hello.
Okay. What else you got there, Fred?
I've got a couple of things. Can we go back to the flooding in Tasman and that?
Yeah.
You know, it's still, and now that's like who's going to pay for it and compensation. And it's devastating for those people involved, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I say we're still on the wrong track. It's like, okay, how are we going, you know, all they want is basically seems to be, well, we need more higher stock banks and that. When are we going to have the conversation about actually, all right, surely some of our floodplains actually need to be taken back for floodplains.
Yeah.
That's the whole, was how the floodplains got fertile in the first place.
Yeah.
Siltation over how many...
millions of years.
Yeah, so, and then they're sort of having to go, well, it's the forestry slash that came from the hills. But
who was responsible for the slash was the private...
Well, that's capitalism and everything else. But it's not, even if it was native bush, if you take away the swamps and you don't have the rivers connected to the floodplains, it still would happen in native bush, especially if you have predators and everything else. You need trees, you need swamps, and you need areas that act not just as a sediment filter, but they also act as a reservoir. If you've got water going into a basin, and the basin normally has only got 20% of water in it and swamp, that can take another 80% more water volume before it floods out of that. So you don't stop the flood, but you mitigate the flooding and the severity. And they're just starting to understand that.
Well, but these funny people, you should mention that. The article here, flooding is projected to damage the homes of tens of thousands of Kiwis over the next 35 years, causing billions of dollars of damage. Latest projections prepared by the Climate Sigma for the Ministry of the Environment suggest already flood-ravaged Nelson and Tasman will be particularly hard hit. The report estimates almost 220,000 homes worth almost $180 billion are located within coastal inundation and inland flood zones.
So,
and the thing about this comes up is about compensation. People are starting to put... some places, they may not get it. Up to 14,500 of these homes with a combined value of $12.9 billion are expected to be damaged by at least one extreme flooding event in the next 35 years. Well, consider we no longer have one in 100-year floods. The odds are you're going to get flooded every year for the next 35 years.
Well, that's what someone from Tasman said. He said, we've sold one in 100 years and we've had two in two weeks or three weeks.
The Emergency Management Minister, Mark Witchell, said Nelson Tasman floods show how persistent heavy rain could compound flooding effects. Whoopsie-doo. I mean, he's really worked that one out, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Bright spark.
Just rolling maul of weather. It meant that the ground, we know, couldn't absorb any more water. Nick Smith, who's Nelson Mayor, said that action was being taken. We're strengthening stock banks, building flood walls and digging out portions of the river.
So that makes it faster, but doesn't solve the problem.
It just
exacerbates something else. And
it pushes the problem further downstream.
And I'm not an expert, but you just need what they need. They've got pictures of all these flooding. What someone should be doing is putting that onto a proper map and going, well, these... When it floods, these areas here need to go back into the worst of areas.
And we do not want concrete
walls.
You've got to buy that. Culverts. You don't want the water being pushed basically downstream
to the next problem, which is what's happened in the UK. They just
pushed
it out. What happened in America? What, Texas?
I have my own experiences of, because I grew up at a place called Maramaku, which is a valley.
Yeah.
And most of the houses are... Going back to the park. Are situated...
In outbacks,
Okay. They're situated not on the flat, but on the hills.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. I wonder what that reason could be.
The house that I grew up in, or initially, has ever grown up, you say, was built in the 1890s.
Yeah.
And that was on a hill.
Mm.
And the school is probably on a bit of a flat, but it's on a sort of a flat that sort of goes like this, sort of a slight rise. So I never known the school in my time to flood. Mm. And that's probably would be when more.
Well, that was the natural.
That's the reason why you build on high ground.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Yeah, or you build up on piles.
Yes.
You know.
So when I hear this and they're wanting money, well, you should have thought about. Well, it's a flood. It's called a floodplain for a reason.
But they're doing is exacerbating the problem. They're not solving the problem.
Isn't it also...
It's a soundbite. Are we going to put stop gaps and have culverts? The idea of the water needs to dissipate.
Yeah, isn't it a fault of the humans is that we want to dominate nature instead of thinking, how do we work with nature grow some food and also
lots of people
keep
think,
a natural purpose?
Lots of people think the planet's there for human consumption.
Well, we've lost our...
To dominate.
Yeah, we have to dominate, not actually be part of it.
Yeah.
And they're starting to wake up.
We're above the rest of the...
Yeah, but there's still that mindset, oh, let's just build some higher walls and that we'll just push the water somewhere else as long as it doesn't affect us.
It's just ridiculous. That,
not in my backyard sort of thing, you know?
It's ridiculous.
That brings me to my second point, as I watch the Time team, Fred knows that, and they got these historical places, and there's a person called Stuart, and he does the...
Historical finder out. He's not an archaeologist. He looks at the circumstances of what was happening in the city, the shape of the land.
The one who's very enthusiastic when he talks.
Yeah,
on top of the beard.
Yeah, that's John. I think Stuart's the other one. I think. But there was one. I think they were doing a dig in. It's either in Wiltshire or Hertfordshire or wherever. But that's not the point. The historical lay of the land was that they had their settlement, burial, whatever, on a raised ground.
Yeah.
And they had this, and they mentioned the word floodplain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they said there's no buildings there. Why?
Yeah. Well, and you look at the UK and the Hauraki Plain, lots of places, they were swamps.
Yeah.
But of course, swamps, you drain them, you can farm them, and they're fertile.
But, you know.
And instead of having a compromise to go, and this is why you need a state, this is why you need socialism, instead of having rampant, this land, we'll just take it, someone at the common good needs to say, okay, well, we need to be able to, sure, have some growing, some food growing, et cetera, but do we have to do it right to the river's edge? And that's a low area. We know that floods every so often. Let's just fence it off, pay the, if we have to compensate the farmer.
That's what we've done in the UK.
They're starting to do it.
East coast of the UK, letting the floodplains come back.
Yeah, they're just starting to figure out. And guess what's happening if you're living in Nelson and you're at... They're starting to let the rivers go back into the floodplains in designated areas, and further downstream they're not flooding.
Yeah.
How much... It's not rocket science.
No, but they're approaching.
But it does cost. And that's why you need everyone to help pay for it.
But Nelson's idea is a waste of money. Yeah. It's expensive and it's not going to solve the problem.
Yeah. Well, you just need to compensate individuals and carry on.
You're not going to solve it. No. It's just going to remain and remain.
Yeah.
It's going to be a flood a week.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, these 100-year floods don't exist anymore. It'll be every damn year.
Yeah. Well, and the same here. Yeah. I've got one more.
I'm
going to hand it over to Mick. UK, two things. The underage, they're going to make
16.
Voting down to 16 and 70, which is already in Scotland.
Yeah.
So it's not a sort of a surprise thing, and it's in other countries as well. And the idea, of course, is to get the kids to be a bit more participatory in democracy, etc.
I imagine the Scandinavian countries would be quite pro this, wouldn't they?
They did have a list down, but there's quite a few, and I'm not against it at all. We asked, kids at 16 are allowed to go and have a relationship.
If you know they're going to work, you learn to pay taxes, you should be able to vote.
So why not? But the argument's always been, they might
too immature, or.
But also, when you're young, you tend to be more idealistic. So the status quo doesn't tend to like young people wanting actually to have a better world.
Yeah, the cynics
and peace
say
and
that,
green and all this.
Because the cynics are saying that if there's an election today, Labour would get thrown out.
Oh, I think they would.
So they're hoping that increasing the voting down to 16 would give Labour better chances of...
I don't know about that.
I don't think it would, but I think...
Greens
is an alternative.
Yeah, the real problem for the UK, which we go into, is that because it's just first past the post, they really need a proportional system.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
They're saying, the young people might vote now. If you're anyone and you keep voting, you happen to be in a first past the post area, which New Zealand was,
and it's predominantly,
and you were wanting to vote for a progressive, more social, caring government, but you were in a conservative Tory, look after yourself, your vote was wasted; didn't count. Mm. At least, like here, our vote counts. If you're whether you're the worker or the farmer in the Taupo electorate, your vote counts.
Yeah.
At percentage wise, and that's what they really need to do. And just on that last part is that Jeremy Corbyn and Zara Sitana, the new party.
Well, they formed it, have they?
They haven't got a name for it, but they're still that's right. coming together. But the real problem they have, because it's first past the post,
again, yeah.
They've got the same problem.
So what could happen is they could come in and they could take votes off true Labour voters.
And then Reform could come right through the middle.
Reform or...
Conservatives, yeah.
Lib Dems, because I say, it's not going to be proportional.
No.
So, and that doesn't even help the new party.
No, it won't.
And let's face it here, there's warts in our system, but it still works reasonably well.
Yeah.
You know, and you got first past the post, they could throw up all sorts of things.
Yeah,
yeah, most definitely.
And so, yeah, good on them for thinking about the going down to 16, but hello. And someone said, oh, you can't, 16-year-olds are too immature. There's an awful lot of people who are quite old.
I know, some old people are immature.
Very.
Yeah, and some of them are in
Parliament. Very wrongly for their circumstances.
Some of them are in Parliament.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But watch out for Jeremy Corbyn and Zara Sultana. Corbyn's still got a lot of respect at what I call amongst the genuine Labourites.
Yeah.
Because the backbenchers have had enough of Starmer too.
Yeah, he's certainly not very well. He's looking for cuts and he's looking to get the country back in order, and that's their thing. But he's not looking at the wealthy and the tax havens and anything else. He just seems to be wanting to tighten up on the beneficiaries and everyone else.
Because he's got to find money for war.
Which.
Yes.
Well, that, and say, instead of looking at, okay, we need to increase taxes and we need to do stuff for the betterment of all, they won't look that way. No. Or very little. You know.
There's no votes for that. They don't want to alienate their support base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But watch the space. We'll see what happens. But yeah, Britain, the bottom line is, though, you've got a bad government. The Labour's not doing very well over there, but they've got so many more years to go. It's 5-year term.
There's only 1 year. They've only done 1 year.
So yeah, so they've got 4 years. They can do what they like, whatever they say.
And recent Jonathan Pye covers this too.
Yeah.
It's worth checking.
Yeah.
So you've said you've used up 20% of your time and you've done FA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no change.
Yeah.
Basically,
they could do 20 FA for 4 years, come along in the last year, and they can still get re-elected. You know, and that's if you're arguing about we should increase our term of Parliament, if you've got a good, reasonably good government, you can argue, yeah, that's quite good. But if you've got a poor one, it's a long time to have a bad government.
Well, Britain's had poor government for...
For how long?
Two decades.
Yeah. But anyway, watch the space. That's me.
Oh, this is an article that goes back Monday, the 7th of July. Most minor crimes won't be investigated, say police. I think a few weeks back we talked about certain crimes of a monetary value of $500 or less wouldn't be investigated. Now it seems that frontline staff are so under pressure, so low level offending is filed away with no follow up. Thousands of minor crimes, fraud, petty theft, even low level supports will likely never be investigated in New Zealand, let alone solved. Kiwi should brace for that, a police advocate says. The Police Association President Chris Kyle says the demand on frontline staff is so overwhelming that low-level funding is routinely fired away with no follow-up. There is just simply not enough staff to investigate the literally thousands of complaints police receive of low-level matters.
And these include...
Which is things like social disorder, things that actually make a community...
Just a nuisance. Yeah. Petty or monetarily, but it mucks up.
If they're not dealt with, they affect everyone.
Yeah, so it's not looking good.
Yeah.
And the lack of resolution has drawn concern from opposition MP, Labour's police spokesperson, Ginny Hanson, said the current government failed to deliver promises, resources, 500 new police recruits, directly impacting public trust in policing. See, faster we're recruiting them, they're going overseas. But I notice that some coppers over here, I've heard them talk, and they've got English accents, so we're busy poaching police from them. Yeah. Everyone's poaching each other's police like they do with the nurses.
Yeah.
Well, the problem's not getting solved.
Well, I say it's like we're poaching the musical chairs over there. It's turned into custard, so they go, "Well, New Zealand's milk and honey, etc." Come over here.
Yeah,
and Australia's going.
Yeah, there was interesting when you mentioned Ginny Anderson's name, because our so-called friend Sonny Causal and his retail advisory group otherwise known as the public troffers.
Yeah,
he was one of the ideas that he's been peddling is citizens' arrest.
It's a slippery slope because you could be done for assault.
Yeah. Yes, and the thing was, it was mooted during the previous government, and it was.
I can remember growing up as a youngster, 50-odd years ago, and I can't remember. Yeah, it came up in a conversation about citizens' arrest.
Yeah,
and it seemed to be accepted that some members of public might feel inclined to
do that,
intercede on someone's behalf. But it was later pointed out that you could technically be done for assault because you're not authorised
to arrest the person.
To arrest the person.
Yeah. So he had mooted
that's just a throw. That's just a throwaway soundbite. That's ridiculous.
Causal had mooted that during the previous government.
That's ridiculous.
And that they and the same problem was mentioned. Somebody could get hurt. You could be done for assault, whatever.
Yeah, but then it wouldn't be investigated because it might be a minor assault.
Yeah,
the police wouldn't investigate it.
Doesn't it create vigilante type thinking, behavior. And then you get these elite sort of suburbs, and they have their own little armies. I'm serious.
Look at
Latin America. The wealthy have their own private security teams, you know?
USA too.
USA,
idea of citizens' arrest is a load of BS. It's just...
Yeah, the only time I hear about citizens' arrest is in that program that's also on YouTube. It's a person who talks about the hangings that happened in England in the British Isles between 1869 and 1960, whatever, when they abolished it. And he talks about each of the cases. And in some of those real early crimes, there were citizens' arrests, people grabbing a culprit before he got away. Like a murderer.
Weren't the lynchings in America up into the 50s and 60s?
It was him.
Before
he'd done it, he's lynched.
Yeah, this is not in England.
You take the law into their own hands.
No, they just grabbed and held the person until the police came.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, say, probably Second World War.
Yeah. You see, because in England they had plastic, what we call plastic coppers. They were community police officers.
Were they cut out ones, were they?
We called them plastic coppers, but they were mobile. And you could actually converse with them. But the thing is, they couldn't arrest anyone. Their job was to notify the real coppers.
Like a Mighty Warden or something like that?
No,
security guys.
Because technically, you could be done for assault.
Because they have town wardens in Hamilton, don't they?
How
does that? What's their role?
Try to negotiate between two companies.
Do they all tell, ring the cops?
They kind of wave a stick. There was one... I saw this one incident, and it was one of those, what you were saying, warden-type setup. And there's this person I know, and he's actually a horrible individual. Mm-hmm. But he was cycling his bike around the garden place, around the outer, and every time he'd go past, he'd make some sort of abusive comment about the warden, then just go around again.
Nice individual.
He's a terrible individual, to be frank.
Yeah. Well, I was being sarcastic.
Yeah.
Another one here is privatising meat. This is Monday again, July 7th. Privatising meat inspections could be a race to the bottom. The Public Service Association say meat inspectors have been advised their roles could be on the line. Privatisation.
Mm.
It's Public Service Association T. Pukenga Heri Tikana Mahi. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, look.
Yeah.
Give it to the expert.
Te pūkinga here tikanga mahi.
Right, thank you.
That's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit of a mouthful. My apologies. But, majority of inspectors have been conducted by state-owned inspection company, Assure Quality, which hired about 650 staff and inspected 7 million animals across 65 processing facilities every year on a commercial model without taxpayer funding. The meat inspection process ensured any blemishes and contaminants were removed from meat products before export for sale in New Zealand, which some private businesses have already undertaken themselves. So these businesses are policing themselves.
Which is fine when there's up for the elite end.
If everything's above board.
But about the beneficiary town? That's
kind of like Upton Sinclair's.
There was a documentary in on Al Jazeera some years ago about the illegal food industry, and in Poland, the number of contaminated cows that should not have been put into the slaughterhouses was being processed.
Yeah.
And all sorts of stuff was going being passed through.
Look the money. Other way.
It was worth something like 6 billion euros a year. Or
yeah, that's what they talked about.
This is the black market food food
that's
chain.
That's a meat. That's yeah. That's a meat. The meat industry out of the late 19th century USA.
Yeah, and let's face it, the
industry is going to police itself. Is it really going to be up above board? I don't.
Well,
think
well
so.
It'll be above board for it's those money. Who can afford it.
Yes, but it's money.
The temptation to push them.
And the temptation is money, so you cut corners.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
How are we doing for time?
Oh, keep going.
Oh, another one got here. This was Tuesday.
Tuesday.
English language bar too high for skilled migrants. Is English language proficiency a genuine measure of a migrant's ability to settle in New Zealand, or is it a proxy for keeping out people from non-Anglo-centric countries?
You could see it like that.
You could interpret it.
It's an interesting one, isn't it?
You could see it like that. Yeah.
But see, last time I was in England, I actually, just for an exercise, I completed the Englishness test they have in England.
Did you pass?
No.
I told you you shouldn't wear that Jacques Cousteau buddy hat, mate. You look French
I went through the questionnaire, and you don't have to have a freshly come out of university to complete the answers.
Okay.
So, in a sense, it is a barrier to non-English speaking people coming in.
Mm.
It's, of course, how it's interpreted, how it's enforced. But, yeah. More countries are doing this. They're having language exams for prospective immigrants coming in.
I'm more interested in the failed exam and what the questions were.
I couldn't believe some of them are just way off field. Right? They were really, really, really tough.
Yeah,
you'd have to have spent 4 years doing nothing but English history and to answer some of the questions because they were so way off.
But it is interesting.
It wasn't just like kings and queens, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It was some really obscure stuff.
Yeah. It is interesting, though, because, as I say, language, where do you draw the line? Because, because sometimes you talk to people and they're not, especially on the phone, and you can't understand them.
Yeah.
And you think, what? You can tell them you're going to be angry because I've asked them 3 times. Can you just say it a bit slower,
I think it is
important.
It is important, yeah.
But should it and stop them coming, well,
that's
coming
that's
in?
That's the argument in the article. How's the law being applied? How even-handed is it?
And also for people like who
anything up to abuse, yes, you could control a number of the wrong sort of immigrants coming in to allow a target group to come in.
But immigrants with...
Usually immigrants with money will get in.
Strange, that.
The door's really open for them.
That's strange, that. Now, you can come in.
Yes.
It's an interesting one, that one. There's lots of barbs in it, and there's arguments on both sides.
Yeah, there is.
Mm-hmm.
You can't come down one side or the other if you're going to be even... You'd have to take...
Take the new policy where you're allowed to bring your parents in, etc.
Oh, yeah.
Their English won't be good.
No.
Chances are.
They might be good speakers.
Because their son-in-law or daughter-in-law's got money, they'll be allowed in because of...
But they've still got to use a service when they... Mm. Even if they have to pay for it, they still have to go to the hospital or anything else.
And that's the taxpayers. Funds we'll for those
interpreters.
Multilingual brochures,
And I was quite interested, just as an aside, yesterday I was sitting out there, sitting in the sun having a cup of coffee, and I could hear this debate, and it was a guy I know, he's New Zealand, Chinese New Zealander, been here a long time, lovely guy, but he had his mum visiting, and she must have been slightly deaf, so they're having this big debate in Chinese all the way past, and I can hear them going all the way just about down to your house, come back. But they were lovely, stopped, and I said, hello, how are you? And he said, this is my mother, she's 87, and, she gave me a wave and a bow. And it was lovely, but,
That's quite very formal, giving you a bow,
On
a slightly more positive note, Peter's Backs Rail Service, Minister of Rail, this was on Wednesday 16th, Minister of Railways, Winston Peters on board with the Te Hua running on Sundays. And he thinks it might be a 2026 general election political bargaining chip.
For the New Zealand First, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as long as you get the rail service.
Yeah, the thing about the rail service, it wasn't running during the holidays.
Was it?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
There's some sort of maintenance issue or something. But you would think that would be the ideal time to have it running, the Tahuya.
Mm. Well, that's how your mum and the kids. Can you do? You know,
go to Auckland, go to Mote, go do the shopping.
Yeah.
If you can afford it, yeah.
But anything that encourages the use of rail, I'm all for.
Well, let's face it. Arguments
if you
about
want to shoot
what
old people out of cars, make sure you've got a decent public transportation system, including the buses and the railways.
Yeah, and to say, you're dead right. And they're talking about they want to increase our population. That's another argument for and against. Okay, if you're going to do that, rail's an obvious answer.
Infrastructure.
Yeah,
buses.
It moves more people quickly.
Yeah.
So it's the most efficient way of moving large volumes of people and cargo is rail.
Yeah. Well, you go anywhere where there's lots of trucks using the road. Well, I guess someone went somewhere and the road was all dented in, pummeled by trucks in the end of the day.
It's just the sheer volume and the weight.
Yeah.
That's the problem, the weight is the major.
Well, and they've allowed increase in weights all the way through.
Well, which government did that?
Yeah.
Oh, national. Yeah.
But see, that's the problem.
Lobby group from the trucking industry?
Well, capitalism, of course, like Kiwi Rail is a government department. They are not allowed to lobby. They can lobby, but they can't.
They're expected to make a profit.
Yeah. Whereas the trucking industry can go, oh, David, would you like, how's your grandchildren? Would any of your kids need a job for the holidays or forever?
Or weekend down
or
the batch?
Weekend at the castle? I mean, the batch.
Anything that promotes public transport, I'm all for, eh?
Yeah.
But there's just too many barriers.
And of course, it's going to get more. There's been moves that they're trying to increase the bus fares this month.
They have, yeah. It was two.
Are you still free?
I'm still free at the moment.
Yeah, it's 267.
That could the freebie for the pensioners. That could change.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, it's not set in concrete.
Yeah.
This is the thing that.
But it's trying to encourage people to use, and you could have a reliable transport, decent bus stops that don't cost a fortune to build.
And it's got to be frequent, you know.
And frequent.
Mm. People don't like waiting half an hour.
Especially on a winter's day.
No, it's not
I mean,
fun.
Who would?
No.
Yeah, because they...
There's a lot of reason for decent bus stops, not the stupid ones they've got at the moment.
Mm.
Yeah, the Orbiter or the Comet and probably the Meteor as well, they almost run like that for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I probably use the Meteor quite a bit. And
it's quite good, isn't it?
Even the Cambridge Brass to get back to where I live.
Yeah.
Because it happens to be on part of that same route.
Same route.
And on the weekends, I think those buses run every half an hour. So
it's half hour on the weekends.
Yeah. But the problem is the suburban. If you're not on those routes,
you have to trudge.
The suburban buses, for example, they run approximately every hour,
off peak, I think they do. It's a half hour during the peak time.
Okay, so you.
But then you've got the same problem. As you say some of those bus routes aren't as conveniently near to you to use, so you're tempted to use a car.
I've got a relatively frivolous question, but I want to know the answer. Is it route or route?
Americans say route.
Route,
and we say route.
Route.
Yeah.
So you're on the bus route, and then you're going off to see your girlfriend.
That's a multitude of sins, that one. We won't go there. We will go there.
This is due to the undue French influence in the early Middle East.
Yeah, one part French, that's right.
French.
I'm allowed to say route.
Route.
But if it's American, it's route.
But then we say route, which is like in a fight. That's route with the E taken off, and that becomes route.
And there's a thing called a router.
The English language is marvellous. It's full of little escape clauses, and it's wonderful.
Yeah. And on that scurrilous note,
I'll go and have
a rope.
You'll find us on Free Left Turn and podcast, and on Free FM 89.0. And we're out of here.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.